Hello, coaches. This is Rick Jones in Greenwood, Arkansas, with your kickoff thought. I want to talk to you a little bit about something that might surprise you. We'll talk about grammar, specifically the vertical pronoun. I was listening to a podcast the other morning when I was out for my morning walk, and they were talking about how they pick leaders. And one of the things that they do when they interview leaders is they pay special attention to how many times in his presentation he uses the vertical pronoun. Now, of course, you have to look, if you're like me, it's been a while since you've been in grammar class or English class, so you have to look up what a vertical pronoun is. But they're talking about using the word I. It reminded me when I heard that, I almost chuckled when I was listening to it, because it reminded me of a conversation I had with a former coach that I worked with in Edmond, Oklahoma. And if he's listening to this, he'll know exactly who he is. But one, I'd just been hired. I was 31 years old. I was head coach of the third biggest school in Oklahoma, and I was quite full of myself, I'm sure. And he called me up over one Sunday night after we were out there working late. And he just said, "Coach, let me just give you a suggestion." He said, "You know, this is not your program. This is our program. This is not your offense. This is not your defense. This is our defense." And he didn't say it in a bad way at all. He said it in a very, very positive way. And it really made me think about the fact that they had football long before I got there, and they still have football long after I've been gone. And it's really given me a great lesson. And I'm so appreciative of that coach who had the courage to just stand up and call it the way that he saw it, is that this is not my program. This is not my offseason. This is not my staff. This is our staff. This is our offseason program. This is our football program. And I just think that the lesson that I learned that day was to avoid the vertical pronoun and do the best I can to understand that this is a team effort 100% of the time, and to focus on the fact that we're trying to make this program great for everybody, and try to use or to avoid the use of the vertical pronoun. You guys have a good day. Thanks for your time.
Thanks to Coach Jones for today's kickoff thought. Follow him on Twitter at GWFBCoach, and his website is CoachRickJones.com.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I am joined by the defensive coordinator at Palmetto Ridge High School in Naples, Florida. He's also a USA Football Master Trainer and was a coach on our U-17 U.S. National Team. So, Coach, great to have you here on the podcast again, and always good to talk ball with you.
Always great to talk ball with you too, Coach. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Coach, we've seen each other quite a bit here over the last few months, so I just want to recap some of the events that you've been involved in. So let's go to first the U.S. national teams and your involvement there. Talk to us a little bit about your experience with the U.S. national teams and your thoughts on just being involved with that group.
It's an unbelievable opportunity that, fortunately for me, I've gotten the last four international bowls. Started out as a DB coach for U-15 back in 2016, and then I was the defensive coordinator for the Japanese national team the following year. In the last 2 years, I've been the head coach for the U-17 select team. So the opportunity that that Coach Ingram and USA Football and they've given me, it's just a phenomenal experience, because you get to coach the best kids in the country, and then you get to forge just some great relationships with the coaching staff they put together. They do a great job with that. So it's just an indescribable opportunity that I've had the fortune enough to have the last four football seasons.
You know, when you get involved with something with USA Football, number one, you can count on it being a first-class operation. And so this past January or just a couple months ago here, I did have the opportunity to be at the International Bowl at AT&T Stadium and just see the event. And like you said, it's an incredible experience. But I think the biggest part is that networking, just an incredible group of guys from around the country. You get to spend, you know, a week or so with those guys, and as well as the preparation before, and just learn some ball too. It's good to get those different perspectives from outside of where you're coaching, and being able to solve some problems together.
Yeah, I mean, the staff we had this year was one of the best I've been around. I mean, I have had Fred Biletnikoff Jr. as my wide receivers coach, and, you know, not just with football and strategies and X's and O's, but the wealth of knowledge that he brought to our staff, obviously, you know, learning from his dad and guys like Kenny Stabler and, you know, Phil Villapiano and, you know, those great Raider teams. That was just an unbelievable experience, you know, in itself. But you got guys, you know, like Joe Trochet, who was my defensive coordinator, and he's worked at the college level, and Scott Sepulpa, who's at Pawhuska High School in Oklahoma, who's the OC, who did a great job putting our guys in spots to just excel when they had the ball in their hands, and came up with a great game plan. And, you know, to be able to work with guys from the high school level all the way through the college ranks, and obviously to have a guy like Freddie B be able to, you know, just incorporate his football knowledge, you know, into what we're trying to do. And, you know, the meeting rooms were great, you know, because you got guys on the board doing X's and O's, and then, you know, we'd break up, and, you know, Freddie would tell some great stories about his dad and Kenny Stabler, and it was just an unbelievable experience. And, like, you know, like you said, the way you're treated is just first class, and, you know, the op staff does a phenomenal job. Guys behind the scenes that you know, that you really don't see helping us with practice, and it's just a well-oiled machine. Coach Ingram has he does an unbelievable job with that event.
And from there, Coach, I saw you on the back end of that at USA Football's Master Trainers Training. So once a year, we get the whole group together, 70 or so guys who go out around the country and clinic for coaches from the youth level through the high school level, and teach some of the different systems that we have available for coaches. And again, it's another impressive group, and just incredible amount of networking. You know, when there was any downtime or dinners or whatever, all kinds of little clinics breaking out all over the place, because there's just a great group of guys there who are, you know, very sharing, very giving in the way that they give back to the game and give to other coaches. And like I said, just another impressive group of guys who we have involved at USA Football.
I think one of the things you hit on, Coach, was, I know you remember this, you know, it was the day of the championship games, and we were in training, and to have, you know, the 70 guys eating dinner together, and we're at every available television, you know, watching, you know, Drew Brees and the Saints and Jared Goff and the Rams, and guys are giving their insights, and, you know, you got Coach, you know, Chuck Kyle there talking, and then you got, you know, Terry Summerfield and Jason Mons and Steve Speck and these guys, you know, that just, it's great just to be around and be a fly on the wall and listen to those guys talk about football. And I mean, Andy Ryland does such a phenomenal job. I mean, he's one of the most genuine people I've ever met, and he truly cares about our knowledge and what we need to go out and do as master trainers, but he cares about us as people. And I think when you hear Andy talk, that's one of the things that you get right off the bat, is he's just a 100% genuine person. He's given back to the game that's given us all so much. But the knowledge that he passes on to us, I mean, I could listen to him talk, you know, for, you know, 4 hours a day on tackling. And he's, like I said, he just does a phenomenal job. And, you know, Beth at USA Football and Rashad Ellaby, who's, you know, the new guy in transition, but he's done a phenomenal job, you know, as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I remember that too, just sitting there watching that championship game, and I was, at least with part of the time, was with you, and Chuck was there, and I'm trying to think, Chuck was on my right, I'm trying to think who was sitting on my left, and I know Jason Mons was around there, and Steve and all those guys, and you're sitting around with just some of the best high school coaches in the country, you know, watching a game and then talking ball, like, what would you do there, what do you think of that play, and it was a fun experience.
Yeah, no, it was great, and you know, it's it's just a phenomenal job by, you know, again, a first-class organization with USA Football, and to get all of us together and, you know, to not just, to pass on knowledge to us so we can go out and do our job, but just the relationships that we've forged. I mean, Coach Speck and I, you know, we actually were trying to set up a date for them to come down to open up against us in 2020 down here in Naples. So, you know, you get that aspect of it too, is, you know, hey, well, you know, we have an open date. Do you guys want to play? And, you know, and then we talked about doing a home and home. So just to be able to sit there and talk with those guys was just an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, I know I would definitely want to sit down and clinic with Coach Speck. I'm not sure I want to face him, though. That guy is just he's a wealth of knowledge on defense. I mean, you talk about, you know, man, just love, again, talking with these guys, an incredible amount of experience on the game and in just every aspect of it. We certainly know him as a defensive guy, but, man, he's just a ball coach.
Oh, yeah, no, and it was funny, too, because, you know, he gets kind of roused a little bit, you know, especially when we're around when he's playing and the Saints are playing, because he does look a lot like Sean Payton. So we kind of roused him, a little bit about that. But it would be a great opportunity if they could come down here and play us. And obviously from our perspective, playing one of the most, not just one of the most respected coaches in the country, but one of the most respected programs to, you know, kind of help our coach culture build down here. And then, you know, we talked about playing on a Friday night and then getting the teams together to kind of fellowship and go out and do some community service. And then we hit the beach and barbecue and stuff with both coaching staffs and the kids. So it'd be a great weekend if we could get that done. I think that'd be a great event if we could pull that off.
Absolutely. I think it'd be a tremendous experience for both schools. And you're right. I mean, they are, you know, one of the top programs in the country consistently winning. I mean, you even think their last state championship, and this is the level of ball they have to play. I mean, they have to schedule some very tough opponents to fill up that schedule, and they finish the regular season with 5 wins and go on and win a state championship. I mean, that's just who they are.
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, Steve does a great job, and, you know, having the opportunity to, you know, meet with him, and it's been great because twice a year, you know, getting together with him at the Master Trainer Convention and then heading to National Conference and having the opportunity to go hear him speak, and then, you know, he'd come see me speak, and, you know, we both defensive guys, and I just listen to him. I mean, you know, I really more so ask questions because of everything he's been involved in and, you know, what he's been through and the guys that he's coached. It's just a great opportunity to be able just to, you know, be in the same room with him, just because he's just like a wealth of knowledge, and, you know, anything that he can do to help me, he's always been there to lend a helping hand when it's needed.
You've just been a part of your first Heads Up Football clinic where you've been the presenter. You've been the guy instructing. Tell us a little bit about that experience and your thought on, you know, what that clinic gives to coaches, because it's really evolved here over time. And you know, in that time period that you have with coaches, you guys are really covering a lot of stuff, covering a lot of content, which I feel is very important to the game, that coaches who are going to be a part of this, whether it's at the youth level or the high school level, that we're on top of all this information.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to present for the Southwest Florida youth programs this past Saturday. Had about 55 coaches there, which is a tremendous turnout. You know, really kind of instilling in them the essence of how to run effective practices and, you know, coaching character and holding kids accountable and just basically showing them the standards, you know, the gold standard, which we show at USA Football, and, you know, how they can change their practice habits and, you know, their plans, you know, for the practice and for the day, but also from the aspect of, you know, the, blocking and tackling and, you know, how these new techniques that we were taught at the, you know, at our meeting in Dallas, how they can implement them. And, you know, and you get a lot of guys from, you know, all different decades too. You know, I had a youth coach there that was about 58 years old. And, you know, we actually chatted afterwards about how much, you know, the involvement of the game and the evolvement of the game has changed, you know, just generationally. And then you have young youth coaches that are first starting out, guys that are in their 20s that only know certain ways and didn't really know what we're trying to teach at USA Football. So to have, you know, 55 guys in a room, all from different generations, but they're there for all the same reasons. They want to be better. They want to be safer. They want to make sure their kids are better and safer. And, you know, ultimately it's our job as coaches to make them, you know, when they leave the game, when they leave us, like, you know, for me as a high school coach, that those guys, if they want to play in college, they go on and as better people, you know, better citizens, that they're going to contribute to society and they're going to know about the right way to do things and accountability and how to be better husbands and better fathers, you know, when they have the opportunity to do that. So to get 55 guys in a room, you know, all there for the common goal, it was great. And, you know, the presentation was phenomenal and we got some field work done, which was great. And a lot of the stuff that Andy had touched on, you know, at our training, and it was just great to get all those guys together for one common goal.
Coach, when you look at the stuff you're presenting there, you know, I know you could probably agree with this as coaches, as teachers, there's a lot of things that we have to sit through that are, for lack of better term, check the box type of items. Like you're part of this profession, you need to sit here and listen to this, and you know, you do it because you have to. But with what we're doing and what we're giving coaches at USA Football, both in the live clinics, and you get essentially the similar information, if not maybe a little bit more, on the digital side of it. How important is it to the game, and how much more does it move beyond just something that's checking the boxes?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, as coaches, we have to hold ourselves accountable and to the same standards that we do our kids. You know, we can't just, you know, sit there and just not kind of tune out and not pay attention and expect our kids to get anything out of it. You know, I think, you know, it goes back to that accountability aspect. You know, if I'm going to a clinic, I'm going to make sure that I'm paying attention. I'm taking notes. I had the opportunity to be in the professional development at National Conference with Andy and Richie Gray for 4 hours. And I mean, I almost ran out of ink, you know, with my pen and, you know, learning everything that they were telling. So when I come back and I teach it to my kids, that I know I'm giving them 100% of what I got out of it. So I think that, you know, and that's one of the first things I talk about when I give these presentations. I have the opportunity to go to Miami in a couple of weeks to help out with the Dolphins. It's, you know, don't just be here so you can get your certificate and say, hey, I'm heads up certified. You know, you're here for a reason. You're here to make sure that you're learning techniques that are going to be something that you could take back to your organization and that you're proactive with it. You know, that was one of the big themes I had for the clinic this past Saturday was be proactive. Don't be reactive. You know, we're going through like the emergency action plans and the AEDs and, you know, especially for a lot of these youth coaches that don't practice at a high school, they practice at a park. You know, well, you know, if something happens, you know, with external heat stroke, what are you going to do? Well, what's your plan? Well, what if you gave a coach a role and he's the one that's down heat stroke? So who's taking over his job? So it's kind of get them thinking that, you know what, you know, and again, as coaches, we're all creatures of habit. I mean, you know, I graduated high school in 1997 and I've coached, I've been a DC since 06 and I've been a 4-3 guy. But then when I moved down here, it was like, well, you can't be a 4-3 guy. You got to be a 4-2-5 guy. And if you're not learning and you're not adapting, you're going to be stagnant. And that's only going to hurt your program. And it's going to hurt the kids that are in your program. So guys that just come here that just want to do that, sit there and check the box stuff, I think they have to kind of reevaluate, you know, why they're in it. And that's one of the things I try to convey early on when I give these presentations.
Yeah, that's exactly it. When we were at Master Training, there was an idea shared, and I don't remember. I think it was either written up on one of the boards or something like that. And it was, you know, there's a coach we had there, a Master Trainer. He's a college coach, and he, as a head college coach, you know, this past year was actually running like mock emergency situations so his coaches could practice exactly how to do it. And I thought, you know what, that's actually brilliant, because when you get to that, yeah, you've gone through it, but just like anything we teach our kids on the field, if you haven't experienced it, you're not really going to know what to do. And then of course I start digging and ask a couple of people, hey, who shared that idea? And it's Vinny DiGaetano, of course, who's been on our show multiple times. So.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that guy, you know, you just think the level of coaches we have involved. That guy freaking thinks of everything, man. He's incredible. But you're exactly right. Like, it's not just sit there and check the box. We teach these things, and we constantly go over what's going to be involved in one of our clinics and the amount of time we have and making sure that we are getting the most bang for our buck and what we're able to present to coaches so that they can go off and have something that's very useful to them. God forbid that you have to use some of the emergency type things, but if you do, you've been trained and, you know, it can make a difference for somebody's life.
No, there's no doubt about it. And I remember talking with Coach Merritt before he left Florida to take the Bryant job. And he always, you know, him and I would always work these clinics down here in Southwest Florida. And he would always, you know, talk about the access points at his old high school at Christopher Columbus, how there's really only one road in and one road out, and there's big fences. So, you know, where am I going to station people? Where are guys going to be? And that was always a great example that I would use when we worked together is, you know, always know your surroundings and things along those lines. So, you know, like I said, you know, we here at our high school here at Palmetto, when we have our staff meeting, it takes 5 minutes for our emergency action plan. And then we'll do situational stuff in our staff meeting and run through it. You know, if players down, if the coach is down and, you know, where certain things are, AEDs are located. And it takes you 5 to 10 minutes, you know, to be prepared and not have to, you know, react to something. You already know, you know, what your job is going to be because you're, you know, on the field, you're going to expect the kids to know and be proactive when we're checking coverages or there's a sim pressure triggered or anything like that. So, it's 5 to 10 minutes of your life to save someone else's. I think it's really worth it.
And Coach, we go beyond that. I mean, it's an important part of what we do and what we're preparing youth coaches for, high school coaches for, but you know, the better, safer game part of it too, that we've really put a focus on at USA Football, finding the most cutting edge techniques, some that in some ways, I guess, you know, we have some early adopters who are able to dig into some of the things we're teaching with our blocking and how you remove the helmet as a tool for contact. And then what we've done with our advanced tackling program as well, that we're really looking at and being proactive about how as coaches, we can be saving our game, that we can be doing things that address, you know, all the things we read about in the media or all the negative parts of this, people focused on player safety, those kinds of things, that we have some answers for that as well.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. And like you said, I think the drills and the knowledge that was passed on to us at that master trainer weekend, and then if anybody had a chance to sit in on Andy and Richie Gray's presentation, I mean, there are so many things now, so many advanced things that we're doing as an organization to be proactive in that sense. You know, cause again, you know, the game of football is under attack with, you know, people discussing, you know, different ways to keep the head out of the game and the blocking techniques that we're using in our presentations. And then the tackling techniques that we've been using as far as talking about near foot, near shoulder and leverage. And then you go into the advanced tackling. I was just actually on social media today and Terry Summerfield's doing some great stuff.
I saw that.
With Richie's tackling system. And we just purchased Richie's tackling system, you know, for spring ball. So I mean, we have an answer, you know, we have an answer, and it's just like anything, you know, if it's something new to someone, they have to seek out people that have done it before and ask questions. You know, it's funny because, you know, and I know we're going to talk about this in a second, but, you know, a lot of my coaching colleagues up in New Jersey were like, well, how did you get to go to Clemson for spring practice? Well, I called up and I asked. it's that simple. I mean, the worst thing somebody can tell you is no. You know, so if you want to learn and you want to find out, you know, ask people, reach out. I mean, today's age with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, it's so easy to get in touch with people to ask them. So if people have questions about the tackling, the advanced tackling and the different drills and the blocking techniques, they got to reach out and they got to ask people, or they got to get on somebody to get one of us down there and give a clinic. So it's just how bad do you want to understand this, the new, the evolution of football? And, you know, that comes on either the head coach or the head of the youth organization or whoever, but if you really want to know how you need to improve the program and how to make it better and safer, you need to get in touch with USA Football, because the stuff that we're doing is just absolutely phenomenal and cutting edge, like you said.
Which brings me to the next event where we saw each other is at USA Football's national conference. And, you know, I don't think saying it's a clinic does it enough justice, because it goes well beyond what you would see at a typical coaching clinic. I mean, you're going to get the on-field stuff. There's an incredible opportunity to network with coaches around the country. You're getting the X's and O's. You're getting the program building. You're hearing things about, like, our football development model and what we're doing, looking at long-term athlete development, basically a K through 12 curriculum for how you develop in this game. And you're going to get that all at USA Football's National Conference, which you had a chance to present in our X's and O's area as well. And talk to us a little bit about your thoughts. You've been there a couple times now on that event and what it's like.
Oh, I think you knocked that out of the park. You said having been coaching football for almost 20 years now, it's by far the best conference / clinic that I've ever been a part of. The fact that you guys give us the opportunity to see people that we want to see. I think the biggest thing too is, other than the networking piece, I think you guys give us topics that are relatable to, especially as a high school coach. You know, I could go watch Steve Speck talk about, zone pressure. I could go watch Herb Hand talk about college offensive line play. You know, I could go see college coordinators talk about things that I'm going to see down here. So it's not the generic topics that a lot of these clinics throw out there. And, you know, if people like to go to other clinics, that's fine. I'm being 100% honest from my perspective as a high school coach. The networking piece, obviously the topics to me are great, and it's different every year. There's always something new because the game's always changing. So I think the conference adapts every year, and you guys bring in just high quality people that talk about topics that I think a lot of people want to hear. And, you know, I've done the X's and O's session the last 2 years at the USA Football booth, and I've had standing room only. It's been great. And, you know, guys stay and they ask questions, and, hey, coach, can I get your contact info? And can you send me clips? And it's just awesome. And then on top of the networking piece, I mean, a funny side story is I ran into a guy from New Jersey, where I'm from, that I played against in my sophomore year of high school in 1994 for the state championship in Giant Stadium. He was the quarterback on the opposing team. I hadn't seen him since 1994. And he's a head coach in New Jersey. And we got to talking and stuff like that. And, you know, it's great. You run into guys you only see once a year. And then for me, a guy that I hadn't seen in about 20-plus years. So it's just – to me, it is first class. It is world class. It is if you have not gone – get on a flight and get to Orlando in February, because you will not be sorry.
And I think the other thing, and I've talked to quite a few coaches about this, that I saw in the national conference from the first year I went, and this was my third year attending, was that the spirit of it is a little bit different than going to your local or your regional or even state clinic, that, when you're walking around those halls and hanging out with those guys, there's still a little bit, I guess, we're competitors, so that chip on the shoulder kind of mentality, and that kind of keeping things close to the vest, that you don't want to give it all away to someone who you might play down the line. But, you know, when you go to this event, it is clinic all the time. It's problem solving. It's picking guys' brains about, you know, what they're doing in their program. You know, a coach, like you said, from Florida, talking to a coach from New Jersey or California or South Dakota, and just getting ideas that this really helped us in our situation. You know, it's that spirit of just making the game better, of solving problems and working through things together, I think, that you just don't see anywhere else.
No, I agree. And, I got in touch with Ryan McCartney via social media, and he was down there, and I think he had him on when he was down there. And
yep,
he texted me like right before my chalk talk, and he said, "Hey, I'm sitting at a table by this room." He's like, "I got a question for you. Can you come meet me?" So then I'm there with him for a half hour, and we're in his notebook, and we're going over stuff, and we're chopping it up before I went on and gave my talk. So yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. It is a world class experience. That, like I said, if anybody hasn't gone, you need to get down there in February. It's phenomenal. Just the people that you guys bring in, the topics, and to be able to network is just an unbelievable experience in itself.
Coach, we're going to dig into the rest of your off season and some of your visits here, which, you know, I follow you on, I don't know, it's on Facebook or whatever. So I see some of these pictures. Plus, you sent me some as you were in different places. You had the opportunity to visit the national champs. You were at Clemson, and you picked up quite a few good things there. I think I also saw you were at Arizona, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Coach, talk to us a little bit. Let's start with Clemson. You know, looking at their spring practice, there's going to be things you pick up everywhere. I've been out at a few spring practices myself and I'm putting together some reports on those. But what did you see and what did you say? That is something we got to do that can help us.
Well, first and foremost, when you walk into the building, you just feel the winning culture. It's the vibe in there, kind of like what you talked about with our conference. It's just you walk in that front door and you just feel different. The culture that Coach Sweeney's built there. I mean, we walked in there on a Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon, and we went into the offensive and defensive meetings, and every coach, every GA stepped up and introduced themselves and made time for us. And just the way they do things there, I don't want to say it's anything specific. I think he just has the kids believing in and you know, obviously beating Alabama two of the last 3 years, I mean, helps that, you know, that culture and that aspect. But the practices are fun. Everything's upbeat. Don't get me wrong, guys are getting coached up. You know, Coach Venables, we were sitting in on the defensive install session on Sunday, and you know, he was getting after people. He was holding guys accountable, and but the respect in the staff members that they have for one another, and then the kids' respect for their coaches. And you know what it is? It's trust. They trust that their coaches are going to put them in the right position to succeed. And like I said, that was one of the things I took out of the meetings, was just the attention to detail. You know, and we were blessed enough to talk to Coach Sweeney for about 15 minutes after practice. And he is every bit as he is on television. He is a down to earth guy that is there for his players, genuinely cares about each one of his kids. But he's the same thing, kind of like Coach Venables. He's going to coach him up and hold him accountable. And it was just a phenomenal experience for our coaching staff.
So from the practical side of things, give me a few things that you picked up. Doesn't necessarily have to be scheme type stuff, but things you're going to do to make your team better, make your practice better, make your meetings better, whatever it might be.
One thing I definitely had to take from them. Monday I spent half with the offense. The offensive line coach, Coach Caldwell, he has this, when you walk into their meeting room, he has this kind of just this whiteboard, and he has printed out where it started, and then under that, who you play for. And where it started, he had every single offensive lineman bring a picture of themselves from when they started playing football, whether that was Pop Warner or AYS, or, you know, when the first year they played football, and then who do you play for? And then they had pictures of their families. So that, to me, that kind of catapults on with the culture aspect of a family and trust. I've already made that's in my classroom for when our defensive meeting tomorrow. Yeah. I thought that was pretty neat. From a practice perspective, I liked how they had a lot of competition. They were thud tempo that day because they were scrimmaging in the stadium on Wednesday before they left for spring break. But they had a 15 play red zone competition period where if the defense got a stop, they got 6 points, and obviously if the offense scored, they got 6 points. So that was something that I liked. And then they had a competition period, not just the red zone, but they had a third and one drill, kind of similar to what Coach Beach does at Tifton County up in Georgia. They had a third and one competition drill, so that was pretty. It was five reps. I'm sorry, six reps, and then a tiebreaker was a field goal from 45 yards. So if it was 3-3, they brought the field goal kicker out in the indoor and they kicked it. So that just the competition aspect that for a practice 2 days before a scrimmage was something that I really liked from our perspective. And the last thing I was actually talking to Coach Venables about this, and this is something that Andy had brought up in our master trainer session. This is something that we're going to do this year, so we can get ones versus ones and 7-on-7. We're going to use flags like the Patriots use for our one offense. So we keep guys healthy, but we could get out there and we could teach tracking the hip, and we get the guys running after the flag, but we can get that one versus one competition. And he really liked that idea. We talked about that idea for about 5 to 10 minutes.
Coach, I know in looking at all the pictures you sent me, the one I really liked, and I thought, man, that's actually a great idea, because with the teams I've coached, I've always talked about the lines on the field, and we always would tell them, hey, you cross that line, you know, you're locked in, you're engaged, you're flying all over this field, there's you know, no taking time off. When I saw that meeting countdown timer, I thought that actually is a really good idea, because, you know, you're thinking kids coming from class, especially at the college level or whatever it might be. So when I think of that, you know, thinking back to coaching college ball specifically, you know, kids coming to the meetings and they've been at class all day and they're talking about this and that, and, you know, you want them to understand that there's that line there too, that, okay, here we go, you're locked in. And I just thought that was a neat visual to see, okay, here's the countdown until we begin. And same idea as, you know, crossing those lines on the field, that I think something like that really allows your guys to understand when the focus begins, when they set everything else aside and they're locked in on doing their jobs.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, because we were actually sitting there for about 10 minutes. We were in the back, and the position coaches that we had been meeting with were in front of us. And while the countdown timer's going on, it's all 80s rock. So it was like Bon Jovi, you know, Motley Crue, Poison, like, I guess that's Coach Sweeney's wheelhouse, I guess, that 80s stuff, because they were playing the same stuff in the indoor. And then you're right, like, as soon as that thing hit all zeros, it was, Coach was talking. As soon as that thing went triple zeros, he was on. And the video that he showed was the video from Coach Belichick talking about constructive criticism. It's about, you know, a minute and 5 seconds, and talks about, you know, if you can't take constructive criticism, how are you going to be successful in life? He didn't even talk about football. You know, it was like, how are you going to be a productive member of society if you take everything personal? Because that means, and Coach Sweeney's message to his kids were, you know, that means you're not coachable. You know, constructive criticism just means you need to get better. And, you know, and ironically, he pointed out the quarterback. You know, he said, hey, listen, Trevor was great, you know, the other day. He was great last year. He's like, but he needs to get better today. He needs to throw this route better. He needs to do this better in the pocket. You know, and here you're thinking, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's going to be probably the number one pick in the draft in 2 years. But here he is. He's holding him accountable in front of the whole team and the coaching staff. So it just shows you the level of trust and just camaraderie that they have as a program. And then as soon as that thing broke, it was right down to the indoor, and then boom, they were in the stretch. And it was unbelievable. It was really a phenomenal experience for our coaching staff to be there, you know, because – you know, you want to know what they're doing. I told my buddy, I said, he's like, how was it? I was like, it was like being behind the Wizard of Oz's curtain, you know, going back there, you know what I mean? So it was great that they welcomed us there. And my wife was upset because she's an 03 alum of Clemson that she couldn't come. But I said, you know, I'll have Coach Sweeney sign something for you. And he was kind enough to do that for my wife with our anniversary coming up. So we signed a shirt for her.
Awesome. And then I know you were off to Arizona as well and got a chance to visit with the Wildcats. And, you know, a friend of mine there now, a guy I've been able to develop a relationship through the podcast and then at USA Football's National Conference, their OC, Noel Mazzoni. So what was it you picked up from the Wildcats?
You know, I think, you know, Coach Sumlin's, he's a player's coach. He demands accountability. Had the opportunity to meet him 2 years ago when he was still at A&M. He was at a couple kids playing in the International Bowl, so he had stopped by a couple of the practices to check up on them. One thing I got out of them, and actually Clemson too, was tempo. I mean, they're moving. I mean, they are like, you know, I was speaking with Coach Mazzoni at the National Conference. I got a chance to talk to him for a few minutes. And then, you know, with Coach Venables at Clemson, is both of them have the, even though they're different sides of the ball, they want their guys to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So in practice, they'll put them in high stress situations. So when they get to the game, it's like second nature for the kids. And that's something that I, as a coordinator, I think I need to do a better job of with our kids, is putting them in more stressful situations. And that's why I think, you know, bringing the competition period in and, you know, kind of putting them in game-like situations against our one offense. I think that's something that I picked up from both programs, is you need to make your guys comfortable being uncomfortable.
Well, Coach Hez, you're preparing here for the 2019 season, about to start spring ball here, and it goes pretty quick from there. You look at all the things now, the opportunity to develop as a coach in the offseason and the things you learned and made yourself better as a coach with. What's something you'd point to here that you've picked up that you feel is going to give you and your players and your defense, your team, the winning edge in 2019?
I think from a defensive perspective, I think the 4 hours that I got a chance to sit down with or spend in that professional development with Andy Round and Richie Gray, I think that's going to make us the best tackling team in Southwest Florida. The things that they gave our coaching staff in that session, I mean, we're so bought in. The kids are bought in. They've seen the videos. They know the challenge with those tackling pads that's coming for them. So I think that from a defensive perspective, I think that overall, also too, like we just talked about, you know, learning from Coach Venables, the comfortable being uncomfortable and putting them in high stress situations. And schematically from him, I found out about four different ways to play empty that we can incorporate into our defense. And it's not overly complicated. So from that perspective, from a football team as a whole, I think it's still stressing the accountability piece. You know, having gone to those two places and having the opportunity to be in Dallas, you know, twice in January and then obviously in Orlando in February with you guys too. It's keeping on the kids and, you know, teaching them how to you know, be better people and, you know, to keep getting better every day. And you know, every kid is different. You know, every kid is different. Every kid, you know, it comes from, you know, different situations. And then, you know, we have to, you know, kind of, for a lot of these kids, we got to kind of be the steadying force and kind of showing them the right way to do things. So I think from that aspect, for our team, I think that just continue to hold them accountable and, you know, continue to make them better, you know, student athletes, and then make sure they're being, you know, able to be coachable. I think, you know, listening to Coach Sweeney talk, you know, and like I said, him calling out the arguably the best quarterback in the country in front of his, you know, his whole team, I'm thinking to myself, well, then, you know, that's okay for me to do to our, you know, Division I wide receiver or our Division I middle linebacker, you know. So I took that, you know, from Clemson. So I think from a team perspective, just the accountability piece, Coach.
Coach, for our listeners out there, how can they connect with you?
They can connect with me on Twitter at Coach PJ Gibbs. If they DM me, they can shoot me an email right to my Collier County Schools, which is GibbsP2@colliersschools.com. And like I said, anybody that needs any help, you know, I have no problem helping out anybody. If anybody wants to come down for spring practice, I'd love to have you guys, and you know, we're all here for the same reason. We're all here to help kids and we're all here to get better. So we'd love to have you guys down. Our spring game is Saturday night, May 18th. We got Key West High School coming north, to come play us. So, and then we go down and play them next year, Coach. So we could do a podcast from Key West next May if you want to come down next May.
I might have to take you up on that one. It sounds like a trip I need to plan. Well, Coach, I always love talking ball with you. I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate everything you're doing outside of your own program to give back to this game.
Absolutely. I would not be here, Coach, without the game of football. I appreciate you.
Coaches, we will share all of Coach Gibbs' information, his Twitter handle, as well as his email, and we'll link to some of the podcasts we've mentioned, including some we've done with Coach Gibbs before, our podcast with Coach Mazzoni, as well as some links to our systems. And you can find those also on your own at footballdevelopment.com, our advanced tackling and our contact system. Go to iTunes and give a 5-star review if you're liking the podcast. And check out our Twitter handle for football coaches at FBDEV Coach. We're putting great content on there daily.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.